Take your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You'll find that on page 1241 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. We're looking at this first section in the book of Ephesians. We have one more week after today that we're going to look in this section before we move on to the rest of the book. In verse 3, Paul here mentions the blessings that we have in Christ, that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And just the mention of these spiritual blessings causes Paul to erupt with excitement as he spills over with one magnificent run-on sentence, which in the Greek is 200 words long, and it's this stream of thought where Paul reflects on the goodness, the amazing, glorious spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And so because this is sort of a stream of thought, a run-on sentence, it's hard for us to easily digest everything that Paul's saying here. And so what we've been doing and what we'll continue to do today is we're taking this long list of spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ and we're putting them on sort of a timeline. We looked at the blessings that happened in eternity past, that God chose, loved, and predestined us to be His. And then last week we moved ahead in our timeline to the blessings of today, looking particularly at the blessings that led up to our new birth, our spiritual life. Today we're taking just a small step forward in our timeline and we're looking at the blessings that we now enjoy in this new life. So last week we looked at the blessings that started our new life. Today we're looking at the blessings that we enjoy in this new life. The blessings of today, our birthday gifts. So I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Follow along as I read. And remember, this is God's word, which is able to make us wise unto salvation. So let's listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us with all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. That's the word of God. Birthdays are very exciting times for us. I remember when I was a kid, it was one of the events that I looked forward to throughout the year. All you kids, at least most of you, I don't know of a kid who doesn't get excited on his birthday, but you kids, you get excited thinking about your birthday coming up. Well, why do you get excited about your birthday? Birthdays are exciting because there's two things. There's a party, and there are presents. My family wasn't the best at celebrating birthdays, but I knew every year there was going to be some sort of party, and there were going to be some presents. The party was a celebration of me and my birth and my life for living another year. And of course, there were presents. Everyone likes to open presents. It's fun to see what you get. Birthdays are fun because there's both a party and there's presents. Well, today, we're talking about a birthday party. But it's not a party celebrating your physical, biological birth, but it's a party celebrating your spiritual birth. When you were born again, when you became a Christian, trusted in Jesus Christ, there was a party thrown in your honor. And at that party, there were presents that were given to you. Last week, we talked about the blessings that God gave to us that led up to our spiritual birth. Today, we're looking at the blessings that were given to us after our spiritual birth. The moment you believed in Jesus, there was a birthday party thrown in your honor. And at that party, God gave you some birthday presents. And these birthday presents are far better than any birthday presents you've received here on earth. Here in this passage, God reminds us of some of the presents that He gave to us on that day when we were born again. And these presents that God gave us way back then are still here for us to enjoy today and will enjoy forever. All of us struggle with certain things in life. God has either taken away from us the things that we loved, or the good things that we had and enjoyed are now broken and hard, or God just hasn't given us the things that we've wanted. And we struggle with these things. Well, today we're reminded of the presence that God gives you and to me and to everyone who believes in Christ. And these presents are much more satisfying and fulfilling than anything in this world, anything that this world has to offer, any relationship, any amount of money. These are the presents that we'll enjoy even in the midst of hard times. We can rejoice in these gifts even in the most difficult times of our lives. Rejoice in these incredible presents that God has given you, that He gave you when you were born again. The moment that you were born again, the moment that you turned from your sin and believed in Jesus Christ, there was a party thrown for you in heaven. All of heaven watches on as God carries out His plan of salvation here on earth. And as God saves people, the angels rejoice. One time, Jesus was talking with a group of people and He told them some parables that show that when a sinner turns from his sins and trusts in Jesus Christ, there's great rejoicing in heaven. The moment someone is born, there's this party in heaven. Jesus first told the story of the lost sheep. A shepherd had 100 sheep, and one of them wandered off. And so he left the 99 sheep there in the open field, and he went and searched for that lost sheep. And when he found it, he rejoiced. And he invited his neighbors and his friends to come over for a party. He said, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." And Jesus said, "There will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents." There's a party when someone's born again. He also told the story of the lost son. There was a man who had two sons, and one son came to him one day and said, "Father, give me my inheritance. I want to leave and never come back." And his father gave him his inheritance, and his son left. And that son squandered all that money on booze and women, and pretty soon he had lost it all. He was poor. And he barely made a living feeding pigs. One day he decided to go back to his father and ask for forgiveness. And so he journeyed home. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming and ran to him. And his son apologized for everything he did to his father. And his father hugged him and welcomed him home. And what happened next? His father threw a party for his son. His son, who was dead, is now alive. Who was lost is now found. He was born again. When someone repents of their sins and trusts in Jesus Christ, there is this rejoicing, this party in heaven. It's a spiritual birthday party, a party celebrating a person's new life. The moment you first believed, there was a party in heaven that was thrown in your honor. You may not even remember the moment that you first believed. It may not have been this dramatic story. But God tells us that the moment you believed, the angels rejoiced over you. There was a party in your honor. There was a birthday party thrown for you when you were born again. You may feel insignificant in this world, in life. You may not feel like anyone important. But when you get to heaven, you'll be able to talk to the angels and they'll tell you, yeah, I remember. I remember that day when you were born again. Everyone was so excited when they watched God work in your life. And we celebrated that moment that you were born. We rejoiced over you. Your spiritual birth was a big deal. And all of heaven celebrated. So there was this party in heaven the moment you were born again. And at this birthday party, God gave you some presents. And some of these presents are mentioned here in our passage. These presents are incredible spiritual blessings. Our passage isn't by any means an exhaustive list of these blessings that were given, but Paul here just mentions a few of these great gifts that God gave to us the moment we believed. And we're going to look at five gifts that are mentioned here. And I'm not going to take them in the order that they're mentioned in our passage, but there's a logical sequence of these gifts. These gifts sort of build on each other. So the first gift that we are given is the gift of redemption. It says in verse 7, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. We were redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption is a term that's used to refer to the whole gift of salvation, but actually the term has a rich history. The concept of redemption developed during the time of the Passover in the Old Testament. The Israelites were slaves there in Egypt, and God sent Moses to come and to lead them out of Egypt, to lead them out of slavery. But of course, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And because of that, God brought the 10 plagues on Egypt. And the last of these 10 plagues was that God would put to death every firstborn male in all the land of Egypt. And Moses warned Pharaoh and the Egyptians that this would happen, but they still wouldn't let the people of God go. The angel of death was going to come to every household, and it didn't matter if it was an Egyptian family or an Israelite family. He would put to death every firstborn male. But there was a way to save your son's life. You could redeem his life. God told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb and to use the blood from that lamb and paint it on the door frames of their house. And if they did this, then the angel of death, when he came to that house and saw the blood on the door frame of the house, he would pass over that house. He would skip that house. And the life of the firstborn son would be spared. The life of the firstborn was redeemed only when a lamb died in his place. It was life for life. Well, our verse says that we've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. In our sin, we deserve to die, and not only to die, but to burn in hell forever. That's what we deserve. But in His great love, God sent His Son to take on Himself the punishment that we deserve. And the moment we believe in Jesus, believe in Christ, we are redeemed. Our lives are redeemed. It's as if you take the blood of Jesus Christ and you paint it on the door frames of your house, of your life, and instead of being killed and condemned forever, like we deserve, we're spared. The first gift that God gave you when you were born again was the gift of redemption. God sent His Son to die in your place so that you would be saved. It's so easy to take this gift for granted. And one of the signs that we take this for granted is that we are complainers. We complain about life. How we don't get the things that we want or things don't go our way. And our thoughts are so focused on the things that aren't going right that we forget that we've been saved from death and hell. We've been given life. If we really understood this gift, even in the midst of hard circumstances, even as we cry, we can still be filled with joy and thanksgiving. because God has redeemed our lives by sending Jesus to die in our place. Rejoice in this good gift from God. He's redeemed your life through the blood of Jesus. And that leads to our second gift, the gift of forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins. Because Jesus died in our place and took the penalty of our sins that we deserved on Him, God then gave us the gift of forgiveness. Because God is just and holy, He couldn't just overlook our sins and forgive us as if they'd never happened. But justice had to be carried out before He could forgive us. Therefore, once justice, perfect justice for our sins, was carried out on Jesus Christ, God could then forgive us of our sins. If you trust in Jesus, then you've been forgiven. An amazing gift. Every sinful thought, every sinful motivation, every hurtful word, every bad decision, every self-serving and self-righteous thing that you've ever done, along with every other sin that you will ever commit in the rest of your life, all of it, in one glorious sweep of the eraser, is wiped away. The sins that you committed last night and this morning are forgiven if you cling to Christ. And the sins you committed, you commit tonight and tomorrow morning are also forgiven as well. If you genuinely cling to Christ through faith and you love Him, then you've been forgiven. One of the tools that Satan uses to drag us down is to continually rehash the sins that we've committed over and over again in our minds. And we often confess again and again and ask for forgiveness again and again for the same sins. And we don't feel the freedom of the guilt of our sin. We feel that we should mourn over our sin. We should act as if we need to confess 100 times before God would actually forgive us. Well, it's true that we should mourn over our sin. We shouldn't act as if it's not a big deal. But at the same time, if you've confessed your sin before God, and you trust in Christ, and you're forgiven. And we need to claim that promise. I heard a story about a godly man who was dying. He was at the end of his life, and he'd been a preacher for most of his life. And as he lay there on his bed, he was tormented by his past sins that he committed. Tormented by them. And a fellow minister came and visited him. And it became apparent that although this man, this dying man, had preached the forgiveness of sins to others, he struggled to accept it for himself. And so this visitor read to him Isaiah 43, which says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for My own sake. And I will remember your sins no more. And he read to him from Hebrews 8, verse 12, which says, I will forgive your wickedness and will remember your sins no more. And after some silence, that man laying on his deathbed said, what a fool I am for remembering what God has forgotten. What a fool I am for remembering what God has forgotten. You and I, we've done some terrible things. We've hurt people. We're selfish, proud, perverted. And it's easy to continue to dwell on our sins as if we need to beat ourselves up over it before God would forgive us. Or if we have to ask for forgiveness 100 times before we're forgiven. Those thoughts are from the devil. Don't be a fool. Don't continue to remember what God has promised to forget. If you turn from your sin and trust in Christ, you are forgiven. And your sins that you have confessed, you can cling to this promise of forgiveness. And so once you've confessed your sin, instead of continually confessing and asking for forgiveness, recite to yourself any of the many promises of forgiveness that there are in Scripture. I will remember your sins no more. Speak to yourself the promises of God. When you were born again and trusted in Jesus, you were forgiven. So the first two gifts, your life was redeemed through the blood of Christ, your sins were forgiven, and the third gift that we're given is that we are clothed with righteousness. And this is actually the, if you're following the outline, it's number four, so you'll have to switch, or D, it's letter D, switch C and D. You're clothed with righteousness. Not only were our sins wiped away, but now God sees you as righteous. In verse 4, it says that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. This idea of being holy and blameless before God includes two things. It includes both the idea of justification, being made right before God, and sanctification, living a holy life. And next week, we'll look more at this idea of sanctification, living a holy life. But today, we're looking at this idea of justification that God gave us at our new birth. And here's what I mean. The moment we trusted in Christ, not only were your sins forgiven, but you are also clothed with the righteousness of Christ, so that in God's sight you are holy and blameless. Not only are our sins wiped away, but we are also clothed with perfect righteousness. Jesus took our sins on Himself and He died, and at the same time gave us His holiness. Therefore, God not only sees us as having not sinned, but also sees us as fulfilling perfect righteousness. That's the concept of justification. That's the gift that we're given the moment we believe. Not only has God promised to forget your sins, but He's also promised to give you credit for what Jesus has done. Let's say that you and your friend had to take a test and you didn't care for this test. You didn't care to study. You didn't really care at all. And so on that test, you didn't get one question right. You weren't even close. And so you failed. But your friend didn't miss one question. He answered perfectly. He got 100%. Well, your friend, because he cared for you and with the approval of the teacher, he switched names on your tests. And so your teacher not only erased the 0% from her grade book, but he replaced it with 100, and your friend took the 0%. Because Jesus took our sins on Him and gave us His righteousness in God's grade book, as God sees you, He promises to never remember your sins, and He promises to give you credit for the perfect righteousness, perfect holiness of Jesus Christ. So here at your spiritual birthday, the moment you trusted in Christ, your life was redeemed through the blood of Christ, you were forgiven, and you were made righteous before God. And that leads us to the fourth gift, the gift of adoption. Verse 5 says that God predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. The moment you believed in Jesus, you were adopted into the family of God. The eternal, all-powerful Creator is also your gracious and loving Father. Remember the story of that lost son that I mentioned earlier. He left home, he squandered all his father's money, and then when he came to his senses, he knew that he had done wrong, and he knew that he didn't deserve to be a son anymore. He wasn't worthy of the honor of being the son of his father. And so as he traveled home, he rehearsed what he was going to say to his father. He said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired servants." He rehearsed this, what he was going to say to his father on the way. And that makes sense to us. You know, we'll have to start from the bottom and work our way up to prove that he really does love his father, and maybe he'll be able to become a more privileged servant, but a son, the honored position of a son, he can't expect that. But what happened? While he was still a long way off, his father ran to him and hugged him. And the son said to his father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But his father was so excited to see that his son had come back, it was as if he didn't even hear this suggestion. He simply said, "Bring the best robe and put rings on his finger and put shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let's eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father immediately welcomed him back into the family as a son. Well, when God created us, he created us to be his sons and daughters. He loved us as a father. But in our sin, we basically said to him, give me my inheritance because I'm going to leave. We walked away. We took all these good things that he gave to us and we misused them for our own pleasure. And you'd think that if we come back home, there'd be no way that we should ever have the privilege of being a child of God again. We hardly deserve being the lowest of his servants. But what does he do? The moment you trust in Christ, he celebrates saying, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. And you're given again every right as a child of God. You know, the angels in heaven, the perfect angels in heaven, they've never sinned. They are God's servants. And with the guilt of your sin, you realize that you don't deserve a greater position than the angels. You don't deserve to be a son or a daughter. And so you may come to God saying, just let me be one of your lowest angels. But your father will have none of that. He welcomes you back into his family. And treats you again as his own child. There are lots of examples in this congregation of what adoption is. You children who have been adopted. When you were adopted, you were not second class members of the family. You were not second rate children. You were not inferior to your siblings. But rather you are full fledged children. And you have every right and every benefit that your siblings have. You and I, we don't deserve it, but God, the moment you believed in Christ, he adopted you as his very own. He doesn't relegate you to just being a servant, but he gives you all the rights of being children of God. You've been adopted through Jesus Christ. So the moment you were born at this party, the moment you believed in Jesus, God redeemed you, he forgave your sins, he covered you in righteousness, and fourth, he adopted you as his own child. And the last gift was that he sealed you with the promised Holy Spirit. It says in verse 13, in him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's a weird phrase. What does that mean, that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit? Well, we use seals today. If you have the original of your birth certificate, then it has a raised seal on it to show that it's genuine, it's authentic. Or if you have a gold ring or a silver ring, there's a stamp on it somewhere that says that it's 18 karat or 14 karat gold or sterling silver or whatever it is. A stamp or a seal authenticates and confirms the genuineness of the item. Well, this is how the Holy Spirit works when we believe. By sealing you or stamping you with the Holy Spirit, God, in effect, was stamping his name on you. And that proves that you are a genuine child of God. Because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are unmistakably his. And he will care for you and protect you. Because you're his child. Think about it in the context of adoption. When a child is adopted, the moment that child is adopted, the adoptive parents give that child their last name. My sister, when she was adopted from Colombia, her last name was changed to Martin to show that she now belonged to this new family. She was stamped with our name because she is now a part of our family. Well, the moment you believed, you were sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit to show that you really are a genuine child of God who will receive all the benefits as the children of God. You receive God's name because you belong to God's family. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So the moment you were born again and believed in Jesus Christ, there was a birthday party thrown in your honor in heaven. And at that party, God gave you the greatest gifts that you will ever receive. God redeemed you through the blood of Christ. God forgave your sins. God made you holy and blameless in His sight. God adopted you into His family, and God sealed you with His promised Holy Spirit. And these gifts are worth far more than all the money and power and fame that this world could ever give. Millions of times over. If we really understood how much God has blessed us, then even in the midst of the hardest struggles and circumstances, we could rejoice. Because we apart, different from people of the world who are not in Christ, we recognize that these troubles and struggles are slight and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory that is ours in Christ. These gifts are ours. Some of the most popular stories in our culture are the stories of rags to riches. The story of the orphan Annie, who was poor and unwanted and abused. But she was chosen and adopted by Oliver Warbucks, one of the richest men in the country. Or Rapunzel is hidden in a tower her whole life and comes to realize that she's actually the princess, the lost daughter of the king and queen. These poor, abused, abandoned children become the most privileged people. And sometimes when we read these stories, we can't help but wish that that happened to us. Well, it has. You and I live in the middle of the greatest story of all, how rebellious sinners who were condemned to die by a just God are instead redeemed, forgiven, justified, adopted, and sealed. We go from being enslaved to sin and condemned to die to being children of the eternal God, to enjoy His presence and His glory forever. Rejoice and be glad in the gifts that God gave you on the day that you were born again. Let these gifts carry you through day to day. Let your mind constantly think about how good God has been to you by giving you these spiritual blessings, these birthday gifts. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving God, we thank You that You have been good to us. Thank You for giving us these great gifts the day that we were born. Thank You for not only leading us to Yourself, orchestrating the events that led us to You, but then when we believed, You showered these great gifts upon us. We thank You for the gift of belonging to You. Help us to continue to ponder the greatness of what You've done, the greatness of these spiritual gifts that You've given to us, and let these gifts fill us with great joy. Don't let us be complainers or worriers or anxious, but let us be filled with joy because You've been good to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.